Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. We're delighted to have you on board with us once again today as we face the issues. It's always our delight to have you join in by dialogue and discussion. It's always our invitation to you to call in 831-0917. 831-0917. Get your telephone call directly through to the studios and right to our microphones so that we can have dialogue and discussion together on the issues. We'll be facing and talking about a variety of issues today, all kind of capsulized into one thought, and that is the principles versus policy, or if you please, evidence of the last days. I believe we are facing evidence of the last days in a major fashion today. When we look at the principles that is taking place and what's happening versus the policies that's being carried out on local level, state, and national level in America today, that I think is indicating and vivifying what the Scripture says in relationship to the last days. I'm going to read you a few verses. Then we're going to talk about it in a very broad brush fashion, but focusing on several of the issues that I think out of that whole repertoire, a group of issues would be germane to the discussion today. The Scripture says in 2 Timothy, the third chapter, I'm going to read you five verses, and we're going to talk about how this plugs into what we're seeing in the issues today that I believe as Christians we ought to be concerned about, as conservatives we must be concerned about, as citizens we must be alarmed by what we see taking place in our nation. We're seeing a total revolutionary change, a tectonic change taking place in America today. And it's matching with what's happening on a global basis, which should cause us to be not frightened, but concerned, not frightened, but standing up and recognizing it and saying, we are not going to allow you as political leaders in our city, state, and nation to do this to us. It's time we stand up, speak up, be heard, and be seen as Christians, I believe, today. The Bible says in 2 Timothy, the third chapter, verses 1 through 5, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. And if I could say this without doing any harm to the Scripture, perilous times have come. They're present. They're here today. The Scripture says then in verse 2 and following, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that do good. Remember that. Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away. Ladies and gentlemen, perilous times have come. Perilous times are here. We find it, that word perilous, as I've explained a number of times on this broadcast before, means dark, dangerous, difficult, devastating. It talks about the devastating time, the deadly days in which we're living in, the debauchery, the dangerous days that we find ourselves in across America and around the globe. Ladies and gentlemen, as we face those times, we need to recognize that there is a need to turn to the Word of God. As we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of Scripture. Jesus said to his disciples, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And then Jesus made a declaratory statement in John 17:17, when he said, "Thy word is truth." Ladies and gentlemen, when we face the issues, whether it's you or whether it's me or others, let me urge you to face them based on the authority of the Word of God. The Word of God, the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word. That is the solid foundation for us to stand on. Jesus said, "Thy word is truth." It is the truth of the Word of God that we must stand on in today's world, or we're going to be in trouble. And I mean that in a serious sense as well as a spiritual sense. I'm delighted to inform you today to tell you that this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in turnkey business packages for individuals that are looking to own your own landscape business or lawn care business today. Tools for Time carries equipment for the homeowner, including brands like Echo and Honda. Tools for Time carries all of the hurricane preparedness equipment and hurricane cleanup equipment, all lawn care equipment. They carry the full line of Honda generators and a well-trained staff to inform you and teach you how to use them and answer all of your questions about backup power, et cetera, et cetera. Tools for Time, located at 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. Tools for Time, 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. Tools for Time, located at I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road, right at the base of the 165-foot flagpole with Old Glory flying 24/7. When you look up and you see the flag, look down at the bottom of the flag, you'll find Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com, ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us. Let me just say to you that as we talk about these issues, I want to do a little different format for the broadcast today than perhaps we've done before. And I want to do so to give a broad smattering, a broad overview of where we are in our nation and what's happening. Ladies and gentlemen, we live in what I believe is a complicated, confusing, chaotic, crafty, demonic society today. For example, we blame guns for murder, and yet we approve murder by way of abortion and drugs. Ladies and gentlemen, the last statistical data from Planned Parenthood shows that just in the past 12 months, just last year, they killed 321,384 babies, just Planned Parenthood alone. Ladies and gentlemen, that brings the total for since Roe versus Wade in 1973, that brings the total to somewhere in the neighborhood of 61 to 62 million human beings murdered. But yet we blame guns for murder. We want to confiscate guns. We want to eliminate guns. We want to say that guns are illegal. We want to make U.S. citizens God-fearing, God-honoring, moral, ethical citizens. We want to make them felons by saying we're going to confiscate your guns. And that's what most of the candidates running for president on the socialist, Marxist, Democratic platform today want to do, is confiscate your guns. And yet we blame the guns for murder. And at the same time, we're talking about, ladies and gentlemen, principles versus policy. It's evidence of the last days in which we're living, I believe, based on the authority of Scripture. We approve murder by way of abortion. In fact, the governor of Virginia says that it's okay if that baby is aborted and still alive, put that baby on the table, keep him comfortable, the governor says, and just let him die. Ladies and gentlemen, that is the craze across America today, where it's simply, there's simply the mindset that not only murder by way of abortion is okay, but murder by way of infanticide is even okay. Ladies and gentlemen, if you treat the babe in the womb that way, if you treat the young that way, the innocent individual that cannot help themselves, that's helpless that way, then God forbid what will be done in the present day and the future in relationship to the elderly, the seniors, when they are no longer viable and beneficial to society as we know it. That takes place on a global basis, but it's primarily found in China today, where the elderly, once they become incapacitated, when they have no value to society, they're just simply outcast and dispatched without any thought given to the human value, and not realizing that we're all created by God, the image of God, therefore we have ultimate intricate value before God. We're talking about, ladies and gentlemen, principles versus policy. We're talking about evidences of the last days. We blame guns for murder, yet we approve murder by way of abortion and drugs. We spend billions upon billions of dollars, ladies and gentlemen, on opioid addiction, and yet we legalize marijuana that today is legalized in some 33 states, and marijuana is the open gateway, the open door to every other drug, heroin, cocaine, fentanyl, and the opioids. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know about you, but I'm just astounded by the fact that from the perspective of the political machine in Washington and in each of our state houses, the state of Florida no different, where we're spending billions and billions of dollars on a national level to try to in some way stop the opioid deaths. Some, I believe it's 117,000 that supposedly died last year from overdose from opioids. Every day we find increasing numbers of those that are dying because of some type of drug, inhaling, vaping, otherwise. And ladies and gentlemen, the open gateway to that, the gateway to all of these opioids, the gateway to all of the addiction is through marijuana. And yet, ladies and gentlemen, we're spending billions of dollars squelching to stop the opioid use and the opioid addiction, but yet we're legalizing marijuana across state lines, across the nation, 33 states now, and there are more states that are trying to legalize marijuana. And ladies and gentlemen, we're finding there's the scream and holler from California in particular, because now they're telling us, listen, now California's telling us that, quote, the black market of marijuana far surpasses the legal marijuana sales. And the reason for Oregon, state of Washington, state of Colorado, the state of California, the reason they claimed that they instituted the legal marijuana was so that it would stop the illicit sale of marijuana. They call it now the black market marijuana. And the whole problem is, ladies and gentlemen, there's no control on what goes in it. There's no control on the amount of the THC and the CDB that goes into it that is the causative factor for the addiction that causes one to want to get into the harder drugs like cocaine and fentanyl and the opioids. It is, ladies and gentlemen, a plague on American society today. We're talking about principles versus policy. There's the principle that says we value life. There's the principle that says that parents are to protect their children. There's a principle that says that you cannot abuse a child. But ladies and gentlemen, the actual policy is contrary to that. We're talking about, ladies and gentlemen, the principles versus policy, the evidence of the last days. We blame guns for murder, yet we murder by way of abortion and drugs. We spend billions and billions of dollars on opioid addiction, and yet we legalize marijuana. That is the open door, the gateway to all other drugs. We put police officers in the streets to control crime, ladies and gentlemen, but yet we blame the police officers when they shoot the bad guys or when they arrest the bad guys. You realize, ladies and gentlemen, right now many of the police departments across the nation are now equipped with body cameras. Now, on the very surface, you think a body camera is good. But, ladies and gentlemen, listen very carefully. I've talked with too many police officers, and I know that there's a problem with the police officers and body cams. With the body cam, it shows what is taking place many times only after the confrontation with the bad guy, after the bad guy's already shot at the police officer, after the bad guy's already done the crime, and when the police officer's trying to trace it, chase him down, trying to handcuff him, trying to, as I call it, cuff him and stuff him. And as a result of it, it looks like somehow, some way, the police officer is the rough guy that's roughing up the bad guy. And therefore, as a result of that, we're placing the police officer in a place of jeopardy. Listen to the early news this morning, and a police officer said that he's just retired, but I think it was 25 or 30, 35 years he had served. And he said if he had to go over again, he'd never go into law enforcement because it today is not what it was when he went into it. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about the principles versus the policy. We're talking about the fact that we are trying to squelch opioids, and yet we're legalizing marijuana. That's the very gateway. We're putting police officers on the streets to curtail crime and to control crime, but yet we blame the police officer when there's a shooting. When the bad guy is shot, we blame the police officer. We say that we want to protect our borders, ladies and gentlemen, for illegal entry, and yet we provide free medicine, we provide free education and housing for the illegals. So what do you think is going to keep them on the other side of the border? We have the mindset with most of the socialist, Marxist Democrats that's running for president that wants a borderless nation. George Soros wants a borderless nation. George Soros has some 200-plus organizations, political organizations, funded by the hundreds of millions of dollars that's allowing multitudes of organizations in America to get funds to continue what George Soros is wanting to accomplish, is having a borderless world. It is the one world governance. It's a global governance. And that is where we're headed today. But it's causing major, major harm and detrimental to the United States of America, as we say we're going to give you free medical care, free health care, free education, free housing, place to live, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. We have that flooding the border today as a result of that. But yet, ladies and gentlemen, we say that we want to protect our borders. We want to protect. In fact, the socialist, Marxist, Democrats say we want to protect America. We believe in our Constitution. We believe in protecting our nation. But yet, ladies and gentlemen, it is antithetical to what they're actually practicing. We're talking about today, ladies and gentlemen, principles versus policy. What are we finding as actual policies that violate what they call the principle of what we're wanting to do? Ladies and gentlemen, we elect leaders, and as we do so, they're sworn to uphold the Constitution. Yet they are the very principal violators of our Bill of Rights. They're the principal violators of the Bill of Rights. The Bill of Rights, for example, the religious free speech, is now being curtailed on just about every, hear me, just about every state-approved, state-paid-for, tax-paid-for college and university. They've even allocated a little small out-of-the-way backdoor spaces that they call free space, which if you stand in that 10-foot square that you can talk about anything you want to, and I use that hypothetically. They're saying that you can go to that free space and have your constitutional rights in that free space on the campus. But ladies and gentlemen, when we have our sons and daughters and grandkids go on the campus, they're not surrendering their Bill of Rights. They're not surrendering their constitutional liberties. They're not surrendering what we have codified in our founding documents. But yet in our state institutions, the federal governments and the state governments funding those schools are allowing that to take place. And yet we as free citizens are saying nothing and doing nothing. And yet it's the elected leaders that are supposed to uphold our, they swear to protect and uphold our Constitution, and they're not doing it. Ladies and gentlemen, when we talk about, for example, allowing marijuana to be in 33 states, we talk about that as one of the things that is causative factor of the opioids, for example. But yet medical marijuana is coming to the kindergarten through high schools. This article says medical marijuana coming to K through 12 schools. Dateline, California, you wouldn't think that, would you? California schools may soon allow parents to administer medical marijuana to their children on K through 12 campuses. The California Assembly approved the bill Monday that lets school boards decide whether parents can administer medical marijuana on school campuses. It would allow the use of marijuana in non-smoking forms administered by parents on the campuses of the public schools. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I don't know about you, but that just is an indicator there. We talk about wanting to protect children. We don't want to abuse a child. In fact, many parents have gone to jail because of just simply spanking their child. And yet this is taking place, ladies and gentlemen. It's antithetical to what would be called rational reality. But it is happening in America today. Going back to the fact that we have our elected leaders that are sworn to uphold our Constitution, that are sworn to protect our kids, that are sworn to have their oath of office that says we're going to protect and defend our borders, we're going to protect and defend our Constitution, state and federal, and yet they're violating it every day, ladies and gentlemen. And the 20 that's now, I think it's 19, that's running for the socialist, Marxist, Democratic candidates for president, all of them, every one of them, believe in open borders. They believe in confiscating guns. They believe in the eliminating the First and the Second Amendment. They have no value, no recognition of the 14th Amendment because the red flag law is indicating that. So, ladies and gentlemen, what I'm saying today with a broad brush is talking about what we're saying on one hand and what we're doing on the other hand. It's antithetical to what's called truth, and it is not factual, and it's not being honest with the general public. Ladies and gentlemen, our schools are paid by taxpayer dollars to educate our children. Yeah, paid by taxpayer dollars. Education is not free, ladies and gentlemen. We talk about free education. Bernie Sanders talking about wiping out all school debt. Ladies and gentlemen, it's being ultimately paid for by the taxpayers. Who are the taxpayers? We are. Who will be harmed most? If one of the socialist Marxist Democrats go into office as president, who will be harmed most? The middleman, the middle class, the ones that are paying the bulk. In fact, about some 70 to 80%, if not more. Some have said a greater percentage. About 70 to 80% of the taxes being paid today are being paid by the middle class, as it's called, in America. I don't like the class warfare approach, but it's being paid for by the middle class. And that will be an extremely high burden if either one of those that are running on the Marxist, socialist, democratic ticket, if either one of them gets elected as president, we're in trouble as a nation. Our schools are paid for by taxpayer dollars to educate our children, but yet we brainwash them into Islam. Listen, I'm talking about what is antithetical. I'm talking about the principles versus the policy. I'm talking about what we're finding as evidence of living in the last days. We are supposed to be educating our children. It's supposed to be taxpayer funded, and they're taking those taxpayer dollars and they're brainwashing our children into Islam. Do you realize most of the public schools in America, from kindergarten through high school, most of the public schools in the United States of America today, in some form or fashion, are teaching Islam? They are talking, in fact, all of the textbooks say anything about Islam. There's five times more in the textbooks, five times more printed about Islam than about Christianity and Judaism combined. And they present Islam as being wonderful, as peaceful, even having the students to recite the call to prayer, which is the conversion prayer for the Islamics. It is antithetical to anything that's called biblical truth, that to say that Islam is peaceful and it is a good religion, and yet diss and put down Christianity and Judaism. In fact, ladies and gentlemen, many of the schools are having the students to dress up as Islamics, fall down on prayer rugs, and have the Shahada, which is the call to prayer, the call of conversion by the Islamics in the Islamic world. And they have them to recite Islamic verses from the Quran. And yet you cannot have the Bible in the classroom. You cannot pray in the classroom. You cannot have a cross in the classroom, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about the fact that our public schools are set up, being paid for by parents and by taxpayers to educate our children, yet they're being brainwashed in Islam. We teach them to worship Mother Earth. We teach them to worship Mother Earth. We teach them about climate change in our public schools. Ladies and gentlemen, that's the biggest farce that's ever come down the pike in my lifetime, is climate change. When you look at it, the only time we're going to see climate change is when God destroys this earth by fire. And 2 Peter chapter 3 says that one day he's going to. The only thing you see that's going to be ultimate climate change is in that place called hell that God has created and designed for that person that says no to Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord. But yet we're teaching them climate change, and as a result of that, we're teaching them to worship Mother Earth and to try to protect Mother Earth. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't believe that we should go out here and purposely try to harm the environment, or purposely try to harm our earth at all. But I don't believe that we have any responsibility other than what the Bible says in Genesis, is to absolutely go in and dominate the earth, absolutely go in and control this old world that God's given us. God has placed it in the hands of man, of the responsibility of man to do so. And yet we're brainwashing our children today that we need to worship the earth. We need to protect Mother Earth. And it's not Mother Earth. It's not, if you please, Mother Earth that causes the global changes, if any. It's Father God that's in control of this old world. We teach them that murder is okay by way of abortion. We're talking about, ladies and gentlemen, the thing that's antithetical. We're talking about the principles versus policy. We're talking today about evidences of the last days. Ladies and gentlemen, you're tuned in to Let's Face the Issues. This is Dr. Youngblood. You're welcome to jump in the dialogue and discussion at any point by dialing 831-0917, 831-0917. Perhaps you have a question or a comment. Perhaps you have a disagreement with the things that I'm stating today. Perhaps you'd want to jump in at any point and talk about those things that you see, that you're concerned about, in the same relationship to what we're speaking of today. We're talking about the principles versus policy and the evidence of the last days. Our schools are being paid for the teachers, for the facilities, by taxpayer dollars, and it's designed to educate our children. But we're brainwashing them in Islam. We're teaching them to worship Mother Earth. We teach them that murder is okay by way of abortion. We teach them all manner of sexual perversion and immorality. I believe we have a call on the line. Go over the question and comment, please.
Yes, sir. I am a Christian, been a Christian for years, born again, and the people I am sick of is the Christians. I have go to a solid based Christian church here in Jacksonville, and there are people that I have talked to that do not vote. And it boils my blood to think that you don't have enough courage to get out there. And they say, well, all of them are the same. They may be, but they need to get out there and they need to vote. And I'm telling you what I believe, and I'll take it off there. I believe that the Christians are too much of wishy-washy, and they don't have any backbone. And I'm fed up with it, and I think until the Christians get together, Jerry Falwell years ago had that thing of moral majority, and I want to know, where is the moral majority? Churches don't speak up, and I want to know why. Thank you.
Brother, I appreciate your call, and I'm in agreement with you. Let me just tamp it down a little, and let's modulate it just a little bit. I believe that it's not all Christians, so therefore we can't say Christians in general, but I believe multitudes of them, and I've said for years and years and years on this broadcast that I believe it's time that pastors grow a spine. I believe it's time that pastors start being under-shepherds of the flock and not being just hirelings. I believe it's time that pastors begin to speak up, stand up, and verbalize what's taking place in America and challenge Christians to vote. I'm in agreement. In fact, a recent major article by Dr. James Dobson, the founder of Focus on the Family, Dr. Dobson says, we're going to lose America to socialism unless Christians vote. And I believe that's to be absolutely dogmatically true. I believe it's time Christians stand up, speak up, be heard, and be seen. And I have seen too many Christians myself, and I'm not saying this as a blanket for all Christians. I praise the Lord that we have brothers and sisters in Christ. I'm thankful for those that have said yes to Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord. But listen very carefully. Not just our caller, but for all of those that are listening, tuned in today. There's never been a time in any nation, in any, empire or any dominant society where the people would grow any more, any greater, in any height, the depth, the breadth, spiritually, morally, and ethically, than the political and spiritual leadership over them. And ladies and gentlemen, we're finding today where there is a vital need for Christians to stand up, speak up, be heard, and be seen. Now, you have, just as our caller just spoke of, and I have heard and seen also, multitudes say, and many of the pastors will say, well, we ought not to talk about political things from the pulpit. John Piper, which is now retired from Bethlehem Baptist Church in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, he had pastored there for some 33, 34 years. He said, and may I quote him, he said to the congregation, don't you ask me to stand up and talk about politics. Don't you ask me to stand up and tell you how to vote. Don't you ask me to stand up and say anything about the political candidates, because we're not to do that. Our responsibility is simply to preach Jesus. Ladies and gentlemen, that's a crock. Ladies and gentlemen, that is simply not biblical. The Apostle Paul didn't know anything about that. Peter didn't know anything about that. The key leaders in the Old Testament didn't know anything about that. They would stand for God. They would stand for the Christ. They would stand for the gospel without any whims. They were not afraid to burn in the fiery furnace. They were not fearful of being thrown in the den of lions. They took the stand. And I believe it's time we take the stand. And ladies and gentlemen, let me just add a little parenthetical footnote. I believe that we'll see the day in America before the church is raptured out. I believe we'll see that day where Christians will be threatened, where Christians will be prosecuted and persecuted and hunted down, just as in the New Testament era, unless we stand up, speak up, be heard, and be seen. We're going to see that come to pass in the United States of America, because right now we're on the very verge of open in your face Christian persecution in America, and it's because of the silence on the part of Christians. And yes, we're talking about today, ladies and gentlemen, the principles versus the policy. We're talking about evidence of the last days, and part of that evidence is, just as we've discussed in the last few moments, the silence from the pulpits, the silence from Christians. I believe Christians many times are being silent because they're being told that we ought not to talk about it. They're being told that from the pulpits. They're being told that by the spiritual leadership in the churches that they're in today. And I don't say this in a derogatory fashion about any church, about any Christian, but I believe, ladies and gentlemen, it's time Christians wake up, stand up, speak up, and be in a church where they can be informed. Listen, if I were to tell you that outside of the doors of the church is an enemy that's going to destroy you, and I don't give you the indication of the character, the characteristic, the conduct of that enemy so that you can identify it, you're like a sheep going out before the wolves. And I believe that a shepherd has the responsibility of warning the sheep of standing and saying, this is what's going to happen. I need to know, understand, and stand against it, ladies and gentlemen. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take about a 1 minute break for the top of the hour news. Be right back with you. Don't turn that dial. Hang in there. Be right back with Let's Face the Issues. Thank you.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.